Welcome to Career Tours. This week, how to deal with out-of-hours emails. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when my boss emails me after work? What do I do when I get urgent emails from my boss after work? And how can I get my boss to stop emailing me after work? Sarah, if we judge by the articles and the Dear Abby type emails we see, bosses calling and texting and emailing their directs after whatever they call the end of the workday is endemic. It's happened to everybody, and for everybody it's a problem. And it's probably not as bad as the media makes us think, because the media likes to have a story if there's no story. You know, like, boss doesn't email direct after 5 p.m. Not much of a news story.
Exactly. It's pretty boring.
It has to be the problematic ones that are in the media. But if you do have a boss who expects you to answer his emails, or who emails you and doesn't say whether or not there's an expectation of answering after in the evenings or the weekends, and that is a problem for you, then it can be a really big problem. For some people, they won't be bothered, right? For some people, you know, answering a boss's email at 8 o'clock at night is fine. It's like, the kids have gone to bed, I can get a head start on it for the morning. And if you're not bothered, if it's not causing you a problem, then carry on doing what you're doing. But if it is causing a problem, if it's causing a problem with your family or your level of stress or whatever it is, hopefully we're going to give you some guidance or help today.
All right. Our cast today answers three things. One, is it urgent? Then number two, stop answering. And thirdly, find another job.
These are quite high D titles, really. Just stop answering. But hopefully we can give some more information that will make all the other styles in the DISC profile feel okay about these actions. So is it urgent?
Mm-hmm. Now, we assume at this point, right, that if the listeners are still engaged, they're still on, that they're one of those people who are getting emails from their manager after the end of the workday. So we assume that those individuals, if they're considering it a problem, that they're checking and answering said messages. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a problem, right?
Right.
So the first question that we all need to identify for the email is it urgent? Not, does the person expect you to answer? Because you'd honestly be surprised how often they don't expect an answer. The question isn't, does it feel urgent because of the time or the method of communication? It's not, will someone be angry if you don't answer? It's actually, is this urgent? Will a person suffer if you don't answer now? Will the business lose money if you don't answer now? Is it necessary that this be addressed immediately?
Exactly. And that's not what most people think of. If you ask them, is it urgent? They'll say yes. But then if you say, will the business lose money if you don't answer? Then the question suddenly is, oh, actually, it's not that urgent.
Right. Now it's subjective.
Yeah. What we're going to recommend runs counter to what most people would recommend. And we understand that the vast majority of people think that when you get an email from your boss, you should answer it no matter the time of day. And we're going to suggest that you don't have to do that. If it's not from your boss, or it doesn't say urgent from someone who has the ability to create urgency for you based on their role or power, you are not required to answer it out of hours. In fact, we'd recommend you don't. So if it's not your boss and it's not someone who can create urgency, you know, if you are, let's say, you're responsible for a website being up, if somebody calls you from customer service and says, our website's down and it's 9 o'clock at night, that person can create urgency for you, because if they're saying to you, the website's down and that's your responsibility, then clearly the business could be losing money.
Yes, exactly.
People are affected. You know, that is urgent. On the other hand, if somebody sends you a customer service query and it's 8 o'clock at night, and what it says is, I don't know, the customer wants to know when their renewal is on this product, or even the customer is having trouble accessing a product, that one's kind of iffy, you know, because it depends whether or not the company would lose money, what your customer's expectations are of being able to access things. You know, if I couldn't access my Amazon orders, I'd be quite cross. On the other hand, there's other websites that I go to where if it's down, it's down, and it, you know, I'll look at it another day, where it's something that's not terribly important to me, not vital. I mean, even like banks websites go down sometimes, and sometimes you can't access your details, and you know, there's all sorts of things that happen that have some pressure but aren't actually urgent if you really kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lots of times, far too often, people really throw around the idea that they're required to answer email. Like, answering email was their job. Wasn't on anyone's job description. The thing is, people are confusing an organizational imperative with their own personal drive to be responsive. Right? It's not a need to, it's a want to in many cases. They often say, well, it's required, meaning that they personally require that action of themselves, that when they read a mail, they feel better about themselves if they answer in the moment. But it's just silly to say that it's a requirement when it's not, and then complain about having to answer emails because it was not a requirement.
There's two parts to this, isn't it? There's the answering of the emails because you feel that you want to or you have to, and then there's the complaining about it, right? So if you are putting the onus on yourself to answer those emails and then you're complaining about it, but there's no actual organizational imperative for you to answer those emails, it's all from whatever you're putting on yourself, then you don't get to complain. But you either answer them and don't complain, or you don't answer them and don't complain.
Right.
Like, it's easy. If you're doing something yourself and then complaining about what you're doing, you're tying yourself in knots.
Exactly.
We often have this conversation at conferences, right, Sarah, when we talk about different styles and different ways of responding to things. And people will say, oh, I have to have Slack on all the time and I have to answer right away. And you know what? There's a billion times when you're not at your desk and you don't answer right away. Like, we all go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I was going to say, who answers their Slack while they're in the washroom?
No, exactly. We go to meetings, we go to lunch, we go and get coffee, we stop by someone's cube to have a conversation. We are not answering our Slack or email or anything else within a minute, all day, every day. And if you're not answering it within a minute all the time, that means it doesn't matter if you don't answer it within a minute. I'm not suggesting that you don't answer it all day. And I'm not suggesting that there aren't times when you can turn the notifications off or turn it off while you concentrate and then you have it on for the rest of the day. But often people will say, I have to respond right away. That's the expectation. That's our culture. And when you kind of dig a bit deeper, it's not true because they're not there all the time, right? When we're face to face with someone in a conference, it's kind of hard because you kind of, you know, trying to point out something to them with a faulty logic. But hopefully, since everybody is listening at home and we can't see them, if you are guilty of that logic, hopefully the fact that we can't see you will make you be willing to think about whether or not that's the case and maybe you want to change your behavior.
Exactly. So if somebody sends you an email that they consider urgent, but don't follow up with a text or a call, then really, it's not that urgent. Right? There's a hierarchy of urgency relative to the different forms, the different mediums of communication that we use that's well understood by professionals. Urgent emails are an awkward breaking of the hierarchy. We ourselves at Manager Tools have guidance, answer your emails 3 times a day. That says something major, right? Email isn't a form of urgent communication. And we've asked tens of thousands of bosses whether they expect emails to be answered in the evenings, and the overwhelming majority of them say no. There is no expectation on their part. If they wanted an urgent response, they would have addressed it elsewhere.
They call or text.
Exactly. They would call or text, which is the reason we're not addressing texting or phone calls in today's guidance. Those media, they do have an urgency associated with them, right? They are an immediate form of getting a hold of you. When your boss sends an email at night, he does not expect an answer in the same way that he would with a text message or a telephone call. They're different forms of communication.
Right, and I love the time the bosses are just like you, which is something we forget. Your boss, like you, puts his family before anything else. Your boss, like you, you know, gets stressed. Your boss, like you, maybe feels like, oh, the kids are in bed. I'm just going to spend an hour on email and be ahead for the morning. The impetus for them sending that email is to get it off their plate, not for you to reply instantly and then they have more on their plate. They don't send it with an expectation of an instant answer. They're just sending it to get it out of their inbox. And it happens that that time is a convenient time for them to be doing it. None of that makes it urgent. And you probably feel that there's some risk here. And there is. If you have an incredibly demanding boss, and we'll talk about this. What was that? The kind of boss like Miranda Priestly in Devil Wears Prada, where she just expected everything.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. You know, you might want to find another boss, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There is a risk if you answer those emails, right? If 5 nights a week or over the weekend or 3 nights a week, you spend an hour or even 10 minutes, keep checking your email every half an hour because you're waiting for the urgent one from your boss, you're risking your family, your relationships, and your health. And we always say family first and health first. And you don't put risk on the most important thing in your life. And the most important thing is your family and your health. You can't get them back. You can get another job. If you're doing a job now and you're doing okay at it, right? You don't even have to be doing brilliantly. If you're doing okay at it, you can get another job because that's the standard all over the world is if you're doing a job and you're okay at it, then you can get another job. You can't get another family and you can't get your health back. I mean, you can technically, but it's much harder.
Absolutely. So what this means when you boil it all down is don't check email during off hours. If you work for a boss that expects it, you'll find out when you don't reply to said email. And the first time they'll turn around, they'll text or they'll phone you to find out why you didn't. And I think part of the problem with getting yourself in that habit of you checking and responding to emails in the evening or in off hours is that people inadvertently, but they tend to develop that expectation. Right? Mm-hmm. They'll start sending messages because, oh, Wendy checks mails at night. I'll get a response. And then when they don't, they've learned to expect it. So you want to start the right way from the beginning, as early on as possible. And don't kid yourself that you're doing your career a favor by always being at heightened alert and available. You're not helping because your boss almost certainly does not see answering as a necessary or even at times as a plus. In fact, they're probably sending those messages because, again, you said it's convenient for them right now. And they're wondering why you're still responding to emails at 10 p.m. Wait until your boss says something. Wait until your boss specifically tells you that they expect an answer to those emails that happen in the evening before you volunteer up and, again, sacrifice that personal time of yours. So think about the last couple of weeks. Have any of the interruptions risen to the level that someone will suffer or the business will lose money? And if the answer to that is no, then you can stop answering.
Right. I know everybody just like took in a really deep breath.
Of course they did.
And our technology has become such a part of us that we can't imagine not seeing a notification when something new comes in. And if it's a notification, you have to do something. And you tell yourself that you have to check each time in case it's urgent, because the one time in a million it is. And sociologists say that checking your email or your phone is a behavior that has variable interval reinforcement. That means that sometimes when you do it, the behavior produces a reward. So you check your email, there's nothing there. You check your email, there's nothing there. You check your email, there's an email. Dopamine, excited brain, happy. Check your email, there's nothing there. You check your email, there's nothing there. You check your email, there's nothing there. Oh, maybe the next time. It's like being on a slot machine in Vegas.
I was going to say that, Wendy. It is exactly like gambling.
Yeah. And that's what sociologists say. Those two things are the same thing. So if you're checking your email, just imagine that you're in Vegas on a slot machine, and maybe that will change your mind.
Maybe that will change your mind, exactly. So the first step here is to turn off notifications. You've got to make it as easy for yourself as possible. Turn off those little red badges on all of your apps. It's amazing how much less interesting your phone is without any of those red badges or notifications telling you that something cool and exciting just happened. Every time your eyes cross one of those apps and you see that little red badge appear, you're letting your technology control you. And no one wants to be controlled by an inanimate object. But if that's what's causing you to open those apps, you are being controlled by that red button, just so we all know, right? So we're all clear.
Another thing I've seen recently is, I don't know if you can do it on this all phones, but you can do it on iPhone. You can make your phone grayscale. So instead of being color, it's kind of shades of gray, right? Darker color, just like black and white TV, for all the people that remember black and white TV, and probably that's only half of our audience now. But go on YouTube and like look at black and white TV. But you can turn it to grayscale, and a lot of people are saying, oh, it becomes a whole lot less interesting really quickly when there aren't all the colors on there. So that's worth trying as well.
Absolutely agree. And then the next piece to that is you've got to decide on a time of day that you're going to call the day done. Like, when is it over? When will you put your phone, laptop, tablet in another room and not look at it? What is the end? This is going to hurt, for clarity, right? It's going to be painful. You'll go through withdrawals. But every hour that goes by with your devices in another room and nothing dramatic happening, it's going to get a bit easier, right? You'll be free of the objects that are controlling your personal life.
Right. And you can do it like 15 minutes at a time. You know, if you normally go to bed at 11, then that's when you check your last email. Then check it at 10:45 for 3 weeks. And if nothing happens, go to 10:30 and work your way backwards. You don't have to do it all in one go tonight, right? It's not like, oh, tonight I'm going to get home at 6. I'm not going to look at my phone again, right? That's like going on a diet after Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where you just cut everything out. That's not going to work. But just do it gradually. And if you use company-owned technology for surfing or personal work in the evenings, then get another device. Like, first of all, your employer controls and retains everything on your work machine. If your excuse is it was after hours, that is not going to wash with HR or legal. And the most innocuous things can turn into issues later. So, first of all, no idle surfing on your work machine. And second, a second device tells your brain this is leisure. There's a muscle memory that makes you check your email on your work machine that won't be there with a different device, and it makes it easier not to check. I mean, you don't need another MacBook Pro for idle web surfing and playing games in the evening. You know, you don't need all that power, and there are a ton of, you can get a refurbished Apple iBook for under $100, or MacBook for under $100 now.
Oh, well, then there's no excuse.
The Amazon Fire tablets that are the equivalent of iPad are like $49. So, you know, it used to be that another laptop or an iPad or whatever would be really expensive, but there are a ton of like under $100 options now. So try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, last up, find another job.
Yeah, exactly. The first time or two that somebody needs you and you weren't available, you can say, oh, I'm sorry, I was busy. And let's keep in mind, you don't need to explain. You don't need to divulge details as to why this is happening. You don't need to make something up. The more you say actually makes it easier for the person that you're talking to, that you're trying to explain yourself to. It makes it easier for them to argue with you.
Mm-hmm. So if I say, I'm sorry, I was busy, there's nothing really for you to, I guess you could say busy with what, but you just answer that with just busy. But if you say, I'm sorry, I was busy with one of the kids was sick and I was trying to help Caitlin with her homework and my wife was out, so I had to make dinner. There's a whole bunch of questions that someone could ask. Well, who was sick? With what? Where was your wife? Where did she go? What kind of homework were you doing? So anytime, this is not just for this situation, but anytime you want to move past a topic in a conversation, say as little as possible without being rude. The more you say, the easier it is for someone to ask a question and carry on the conversation.
Yes. It's not that those are not good reasons. It's just that you're eliciting further questions. You're dragging out the topic and you don't want to in this case. So what if your boss's reaction to, I'm sorry, I was busy, is it's part of the employment deal here. I expect you to answer me anytime I call or text or email within 15 minutes. In that case, you could say to your boss, I'm sorry, boss, I understand and I'm on it. And then always answer within 15 minutes and start looking for another job.
And for some of us, we ask often, I don't know if we still do, but we used to ask in conferences, for whom is family the most important thing in their lives? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question.
And 99% of people say, yep, family is the most important thing in my life. Every now and again, and I'm one of them, there's a person who doesn't say that. That says something else is the most important, or says work is the most important, or whatever. And that's okay, right? And so if you're that person and answering your boss within 15 minutes, any time of the day or night, is okay with you for whatever reason, whether it's because you like this job, or you need this job, or you just like your boss, or you just want to do it, then that's fine. But if it's not, if it's a problem for you, then you can't expect your boss to change, because we can't change anybody else. We can only change ourselves. One of the things we say when we're interviewing is past behavior predicts future behavior. Nearly always what people do in the future is what they've done in the past. And it's the same for bosses. And absolutely, people can and do change. But if you're expecting your boss, who expects you to answer a phone call or an email after 5 p.m., within 15 minutes, that boss is not going to change that behavior. And even if you go to HR and say, this isn't fair, my boss is doing this and I don't want to do it, and you know, you should tell him he can't do it, HR will not side with you, because they're already tacitly blessing his behavior by not firing him. And if they haven't fired him yet, they won't fire him just because you tell them to.
Exactly.
I hate telling people that, but this is realism here. This is like actual career tools, not like fantasy land career tools. So if your boss expects you to conform to their standard and you don't like their standard, then they're not going to change. And so you have to do something to change. And that means for most people, getting another job. And you don't have to resign. You don't have to go into your boss and say, I'm looking for something else. Just keep it on the down low, look for what you want, take your time, and don't jump from the frying pan into the fire. You have all the time in the world, and in that 3 months or 6 months that it takes you to find the right thing, you have to answer emails within 15 minutes. And that's kind of a trade-off that you're accepting.
In summary, guys, the issues around out-of-hours calls, text, emails really stem from two issues. Someone sending the communication and you looking at and answering the communication. If you want your life to be different, then you have to do something different. You can't change the way other people react to you. You can't control them and make them stop sending those messages. All you can do is control how you receive and what you do with them. And that means stop looking and stop answering. It's as simple and as difficult as that.
It is. So email us and tell us if you try this and what happens. I'm really curious. We don't often say that, but I'm super curious as to what happens with this one. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with some more guidance.